Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's R-E-B-A-G.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Another perfect dawn rises, sparkling in yellows and pinks over the land of the fairy unicorns. Princess Fairy Lalinda mounts her beloved friend and steed, the noble unicorn Strawberry Sprinkles, and they launch together over the waking kingdom, scattering fistfuls of glittering dew to lime the tender buds and leaves below. But lo, a shadow creeps in the corner of the kingdom, reaching dark fingers into the heart of the realm. Oh no! Princess Fairy Lalinda's strong jaw clenches. She pulls on her diamond crown helmet and draws her delicate rainbow sword, bending low over the neck of Strawberry Sprinkles. Yes, mistress, murmurs the mighty pink unicorn, tossing his iridescent mane. I see it too. What does it mean? Princess Fairy Lalinda sinks white teeth into her rosebud pink lower lip. It means it's going to be another c*** of a day. Yes, mistress, nods Strawberry Sprinkles, and I know what we need. We need the goggle. Hey! I'm sorry, it's been a rough couple of 7 weeks of not sleep since my baby was born and I entered the world of newborn plus toddler. I am not reaching far for any of my jokes this week. And like Kaiser Soze trying to write my jokes, but instead of a pinboard in a police station, I'm sitting on a waterproof playmat, a.k.a. piss-on-proof playmat, looking at a picture of what my daughter insists is a dragon, pirate, unicorn, fairy. Unlike Kaiser Soze and The Usual Suspects, I'm not going to suddenly and horribly be revealed to have been Kevin Spacey all along. This is the podcast pull-out section to lay proudly on the oral coffee table of your mind, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, all of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tom Neenan.
Hello.
You say that so gently, like, you know, I can't take...
I was so worried about, like, I just wanted it to be a definite greeting. That's what I was aiming for. No fanciness, just a hello.
It was lovely. It sounded very gentle and calming. It sounded like the hello you say at the beginning of a hostage negotiation. And John Luke Roberts.
Salutations and felicitations to you, Alice Fraser, on this wonderful, bright, sunny morning.
I hesitate to ask, since when did you become so noble?
Oh, well, I've always been noble deep down. I was just trying to act as a corrective to Tom's simplicity. So the average would land somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, we balance each other out. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, before we seat ourselves around this egalitarian round table and begin to talk about the rules of chivalry that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine this week. The front cover model this week is Scott Swift, who's Taylor Swift's dad and man with an alliterative name, most likely indicating he has a secret identity as a superhero. And he's posing provocatively with an Australian police statement saying they will not be pursuing the matter further after he was recorded punching a paparazzo in defence of his daughter. Apparently his excuse was, but come on. Come on. I'm so torn about this story. Like, I'm torn between reveling in the satisfaction of a man defending his daughter against some creepy dude who was hassling her, and then also understanding that, like, civilization means abdicating the right to enact violence in pursuit of vengeance in favor of the state having a monopoly on due process. But also, you know, come on.
It's fun. When Bjork did it, that it was a lot of fun when Bjork did it. That felt like it was very equitable in some way, because we just love seeing Bjork throwing hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really Bjorkish unless she's throwing a swan, though, is it?
Yeah.
I feel, Alice, like there is an alternative to having a complex and sort of conflicted opinion on this, which is just having no opinion at all. You should try it. It's great.
Look, I didn't have an opinion until I sat down and had to have a front cover. And then I thought, oh, God, I have to formulate an opinion on this. See, I quite like to present myself as being, like, you know, quite a well-balanced person, seeing both sides of the equation, trying to understand even people who I sort of viscerally feel opposed to, and, like, trying to see their point of view. But also that could be considered a very lazy way of going about things. Like, I'll think about a thing, but not enough to actually really decide how I feel about it.
Yeah, it is one of those that if you can either engage with it philosophically for a long time and come to basically the same thing of just, I'm not going to engage with this at all.
The satirical cartoon this week is the Ladies' Lounge exhibit in Australia's Mona Art Museum, which is dressed up like a gentleman's club, has a lot of the museum's most sort of sought-after artworks, and only allows women in as a commentary on centuries of exclusion from such spaces. And they're being sued by a dude for illegal discrimination. That is less of a satirical cartoon and more a thing that actually happened in Australia this week. But sometimes, you know, something that just satires itself.
Yeah.
But they've kind of turned the trial into an art piece, haven't they? Like, there's groups of women who turned up and then move in unison and all this stuff. It seems quite fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, then, you know, what happens next is the guy who's suing it says that he's suing it as an art piece and applies for a grant. And that brings us to our top story. Big business is the baddies again news now. This really feels like, you know, dog bites man. How is this still news? The question is, did grocery stores take advantage of COVID shortages to raise prices? Is part of the cost of living crisis just false inflation driven by companies trying to scrape more money because they know people believe that inflation is happening, so they think, well, why don't we force the prices up? The answer is yes. The FTC says yes, certainly, when it comes to America. John Luke Roberts, you've gone to the grocery store before. Can you unpack this story for us?
I have. I will unpack it and then give them the bags back so they can put them in a van and drive them off after the delivery.
Very nice.
Thank you. I thought it was quite neat, but not funny as such, but
satisfying.
Had a certain elegance.
Takes the comedy out of observational comedy. Just some observations.
Yeah. Sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it? No, I just look at things. I don't tell anyone about them in a funny way.
I'm a student of human existence.
The Federal Trade Commission has published a report called Feeding America in a Time of Crisis, which sounds pleasingly like a kind of lesser Gabriel Garcia Marquez book. all food delivery chains and logistic reports broken up by shareholders' mothers turning into a flock of birds. they found that, like, the big old what they call grocery giants, which to me sounds too much like the Jolly Green Giant, and he is honestly the only grocery giant I care about, took advantage of COVID to artificially inflate their prices rather than just covering the increased costs of COVID, which is, it's one of those things where it's like, well, we knew this, right? It's not a surprise that Walmart didn't really love us, that this was all some sort of trick. I also found out the names of the major American groceries, which are Walmart, Kroger, which sounds so much like a villain. You really would. Kroger loves you. Kroger wants you get your food at a reasonable price. Kroger. and they did it by tracking meat, milk, and toilet paper. And I don't know what meat paper or milk paper is, but apparently people buy them quite a lot in America. We don't know whether the paper is made out of meat or it's to clean meat, or indeed it's just toilet paper made out of meat, which I guess is prosciutto.
Oh, two-ply prosciutto. I think that the problem here is that what we have in the UK, you'd never expect that in the UK because all of our places, they're not called like Kroger and stuff. They're called Lidl. Oh, and they're called Aldi. And they all have these little like cutesy little names that make it sound like they don't, you know, they don't hold the monopoly over anything. And they'd never hurt you. You'd never have anything going wrong at Aldi. And I think that they should actually introduce the kind of US naming system, which is, you know, we're almost there with things like, what ones have we got? Well, actually, so we got Waitrose, which just sounds weird.
Sounds like a butler.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like it. I think we should just call it like Food Max and really embrace the fact that it is a terrifying corporation that tomorrow could decide aubergines are £40,000 and we can never eat them again. or one rich person can, and we'd all watch him or her, probably him, and be incredibly jealous. But yeah.
We'd be jealous of the moment where he burns his tongue because aubergines are always too hot.
Yeah. And they're slimy in the middle, so it like sticks as well. We'd watch and we'd laugh, and that it won't be quite like the French Revolution, but hot aubergine to be our guillotine, then so be it. I can't remember what I was saying, to be honest. I think this refers to the issue. Yes, in this non-political podcast, we have found out that big corporations do not have our best interests at heart. I, for one, am shocked.
Waitrose, it could also be an instruction to a girl in a finishing school. Waitrose, and now you may place the book on your head.
Waitrose and your prince will come. Mm. Don't be forward. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by two-year-olds. Would you like to have to tell someone you suspect is smarter than you not to lick rainwater off a bench? Try having a two-year-old. The scary smart sociopath whose public behaviour reflects directly on you. Sorry, the rest of this ad's been dropped in the kitchen somewhere. I told you it was being brought to you by two-year-olds. And are you looking for something new but also familiar? Something that's simultaneously a callback to a long-running joke and a meta-commentary on that callback? Something refreshing yet comforting, a brand new take on a classic, a take that keeps on giving. Try half a glass of water. Half a glass of water, the connoisseur's punchline.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And that brings us to our high rats news now, and not in the high hello rats, but the like rats that are high news now. Apparently in New Orleans, there is a police evidence room that is so infested with vermin that all of the vermin are high. Rats, cockroaches, men named Steve. Tom, you've been submitted in evidence before. Can you unpack this story?
Of course. Police were first tipped off when a Parisian chef started cooking exclusively hobnobs. And they wondered what was happening. And it turned out that the rats are getting high. Rats, as we know, will, if there's something humans enjoy, a rat will enjoy it soon after. Humans enjoy pizza. Then we had Pizza Rat. Humans enjoy smoking a fat bifter. And now rats are doing the same thing. I don't think they're smoking it, though, are they? They're just eating it. They're just getting into evidence lockers. They're ransacking and they are eating the marijuana. At least that's the story. All we probably know for sure is that drugs are going missing from evidence lockers. And someone has come up with the rather sort of Pixar-esque image of rats all gathering and eating all...
Is Pixar-esque the modern take on picturesque?
Yeah, it's just... and picaresque. It's a combination of all of them. And yeah, they're all going and eating their marijuana and then sitting around talking about, like, what if, hey, what if things were different, and what if we're all in a simulation, and actually that maze that I was in quite recently was actually designed by like scientists to check my brain or something, and they're all like freaking themselves out about that. Yeah, I love it. I like the fact that the chief administrative officer was a guy called Gilbert Montano, which if I've got that's who I want in my police force, someone called Gilbert Montano. He just sounds very in control, even though all of his evidence is going missing. It's a charming wee story. There's no victims, I don't think. I don't think it's going to harm the rats too much, is it? Hey, rats, stay in school. That is what I have to say.
The New Orleans Police Department. There's no victims.
Yeah. Please don't clip that out of context.
John Luke Roberts, have you ever got any cockroaches high?
I've never, not to my knowledge, have I ever got any cockroaches high? Yeah, they did lead with the rats in this story, didn't they? The cockroaches were sort of, it's obviously easier to anthropomorphize a rat than a cockroach. And I wonder whether that's because of Pixar and Ratatouille. Although now I think about it, there is a cockroach in Wall-E, which is fairly successfully anthropomorphized. But there we go.
Well, I also think the part of the relevant factor here is that, you know, rats are at least comparable to people in terms of their responses to
drugs. Yeah, some of the people I know.
Why would there be? Otherwise, why would there be so many rat trials? I mean, the amount of rat cancer we've cured wouldn't be relevant to us at all, but certainly good for the rats. But I'm not sure what getting high would do to a cockroach. I mean, cockroaches kind of look like they're high all the time. Maybe eating weed would make cockroaches like brutally sober, and you just see them in the corner twiddling their thumbs and reflecting on life. They wake up on their way to an office job and find themselves transformed into a man.
Aren't they the only thing that can survive a nuclear apocalypse, a cockroach? The only sort of living creature?
I think that's just good cockroach PR. I think if you drop a nuclear bomb on a cockroach, it's not okay.
Yeah, come to think of it, a foot will do a lot of damage to a cockroach, so a nuclear bomb probably will do the same. Because then you can imagine a wonderful world where it's literally just... the nature has taken over and it's just very high cockroaches and nothing else. Would they be happy then? Probably.
And that brings us to our reviews section. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. What have you brought in for us this week, Tom Neenan?
I'm reviewing Sections of the Alphabet. So very similar, you know, it's on brand, unknowingly, for your sort of 2-year-old. Is your 2-year-old doing the alphabet at the minute?
Yes.
There you go. Well, okay, so maybe record this, play this bit. Okay, I'm going to go you through. ABC, solid start, 4 stars. It's a classic. DEFG is a letdown on the start, which is really strong, ABC. So DEFG, I'm going to give 3 stars to, because it doesn't quite live up to the hype. H-I-J-K, I don't like giving that 1 star because written down, it looks like someone's greeting you and then immediately telling you that that greeting was secretly a joke. And I think that's offensive. L-M-N-O-P is the MVP of the alphabet. Not literally, the MVP of the alphabet are the letters M, V and P. But L-M-N-O-P is incredibly strong. I love it. I'm going to give that 5 stars. It rolls off the tongue. It's almost its own letter, L-M-N-O-P. Wonderful. Q-R-S-T-U-V, sort of the middle 8 of the alphabet, is solid. Structurally, it's solid. There's a lot of, like, you know, core letters there. Q sneaks in quite early. I think you'd agree, but I'm going to give that 4 stars as well. And then WXYZ, all the spiky letters at the end. So it goes out on a bit of a sour note, and I'm going to give that 2 stars, which averages out, I've worked out, I think, at 3.5 stars for the various sections of the alphabet. Thank you.
Wonderful work on the alphabet there, 3.5 stars. Mm-hmm. And John Luke, what have you brought in for us?
I'm going to review the new Ghostbusters movie, which I haven't seen, but I'm going to imagine that I have seen it and discover, to my surprise, that it doesn't have any ghosts or ghostbusting in it. I went to see the new Ghostbusters movie because I wanted to see some ghosts and ghostbusting. Imagine my surprise when I got to the end of this 174-minute film and there was not a single ghost or ghostbusting in it. None of that had occurred. What a swizz! I went there because I wanted to see ghosts and ghostbusting, but they weren't there. Then I thought, actually, I'd be happy to see just some ghostbusting. I'm not really here for the ghosts at all. But my friend, who was with me, pointed out to me that you can't have ghostbusting without ghosts because ghostbusting is the solution to the problem of ghosts. And then I thought, actually, for the people in this movie, it was probably nice not to have to come up with a solution to the problems of ghosts by coming up with ghostbusting. And instead, they had lots of time to just get on with doing things that they liked and spending time with loved ones. So I give the new Ghostbusters movie, which I'm imagining I've seen, but I haven't seen, 5 stars out of 5, because I believe that the serenity offered to its characters is a moral good.
Wonderful.
Imagine you thought you were seeing Ghostbusters, but in fact you were seeing Dune 2. And at no point did you fully clock that you weren't seeing Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Could you show the process of ghostbusting without ghosts? For instance, could you, you can learn to drive a car, but not be in a car. Mm. So could you sort of show them ghost busting as in, here's what we would do if there was a ghost. We'd get our proton packs and things and do that.
Literally everyone who claims to be busting ghosts in the real world is doing that.
Oh, because ghosts are real. Oh, yes.
Alice, prove it. Look, because there's these people who are going around ghostbusting and I don't see any ghosts. It seems that ghostbusting has been successful.
And that brings us to poking news now. If you were on the internet back when social media was beginning, you were familiar with the incredibly nuanced use of the Facebook poke. It has gone in and out of fashion. It has become useful and then cringe and then useful again. And now it is being brought back to the forefront of the Facebook interface. John Luke, you've got a face on you right now. Can you unpack this story?
Well, it's not a huge amount to unpack, is there? Like, the poke was one of the first. And in fact, it's maybe Mark Zuckerberg's only true innovation was the poke button on Facebook, which was this thing which it wasn't quite clear what it did, but it said poke on it, which of course is vaguely suggestive, and it sort of alerted someone that you wanted to speak to them without you having to use, you know, words or just nodding them in the street. It was also one of those like virtualizations or something, which in the real world you got someone's attention by poking them would definitely be rude, but somehow by moving this to the virtual sphere becomes, I don't know, playful. Always had an air of creepiness anyway. But now they then hid the button, but you could still find it if you knew the precise URL. And then recently...
Imagine being the person who had that bookmarked.
Imagine having to give it to somebody over the phone. Right, so sorry, what? That's facebook.com/... okay, yeah, I'll poke you next... I think next Wednesday, but maybe on Thursday. We'll see when I have a space. Yeah, they brought back the button, so the button is now more obvious. Mm-hmm. And now Gen Z are using the button, which is meant to be surprising. And in fact, I think it's just because they haven't got bored of it from those. I remember like a chain of back and forth poking somebody as some kind of in-joke in the first 2 weeks of Facebook being made. When I say back and forth, I do mean on Facebook. that's back. And in a world where anything new is shunned and then stolen, it's nice to have something very old reappear for absolutely no purpose.
Tom, would you use the Facebook poke button now that you know that it's been revived?
Run away, Zoomers, run away. I'm not on Facebook, and I would encourage them all to avoid this, like, early...
Then who have I been poking?
It's the early noughties social media whimsy that none of us want to see brought back. People, do we really want to be back to a period of, like, throwing sheep at each other? Do you remember that? When people used to... I mean... In New Zealand, obviously, your neighbouring New Zealand, that is something you can do literally, and that is a way of getting someone's attention that is legitimate, I believe. But do we actually think that, like...
Every New Zealander I've ever spoken to has somehow brought up in conversation that Australia has more sheep per capita than New Zealand.
Is that
even
right?
I'm not bringing it up.
They just, like, jump out. It's a bit like poking. There's a new button, if you know the IRL, to just tell you that Australia has more sheep per capita than New Zealand.
I like the idea of the IRL rather than the URL.
Oh, oh yeah, that would be the opposite. In real life versus... Wow, okay.
I think it's just where you tell someone the longitude and latitude of where they're standing.
What's basically,
my IRL?
Is that like the three words, my three words, where you have to, like, if you get lost in the woods and then you call someone up and say, like, cabbage, sausage, sock, and then they can find you? Is that what that would be? Or have I just made that up?
Lest an owl know that you're lost. You don't want to tip the owl off.
And I believe you're talking about spells, Tom. That's a spell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Witchcraft. We love it. What three words is what it's called. Thank you. If you're lost in the woods, call someone up, just say random three words and no, a specific three words and they'll come and get you. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing poking. Don't do it, young people. You were doing so well with your voice notes and your whatever young people are doing now. I don't want to be one of these people who's like on the Snapchat, because that's just, I don't know.
I can't imagine Snapchat as young people anymore. I feel like Snapchat was young people 10 years ago.
What's the new one? It's poking. It's gone round in a circle.
We're not meant to know.
Oh, yeah, that's good, actually, that I don't know. If I knew immediately, if I was like, oh, it's this, you'd all be like, okay. Okay, Tom, what are you what are you up to? No, I don't know what young people do nowadays.
I will say, just then is the first time I have acknowledged to myself that I am no longer young.
Well, comparatively, we're all very young still, compared to, you know, mountains and trees.
Yeah.
So we should be very happy about
I'm
that.
I'm quite enjoying not being a young lady anymore. I thought I wouldn't like it, but I'm not an old lady. I'm not a young lady. I'm just a lady.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nice.
I like it.
Yeah, it does. It also, it's quite a good tagline for a movie. Not a young lady, not an old lady, just a lady.
She's no lady.
Yeah.
She's a dame.
She's no lady. She's a podcast host.
And that brings us to our final story of today, which is that scientists allegedly are working on a pill that you can take instead of exercising. I can see no potential problems with this. Tom Neenan, you know how to swallow a pill. Can you unpack this story?
Sure, it's exercise now in pill form. This is how we used to mark innovation, and how innovation has been marked, I think, since the 1950s, which is one day something will be a pill. People used to say it about food. One day food will be a pill. I assume at some point in the 18th century, when people were like spooning paracetamol into their mouths, huge mountains of paracetamol, they were like, one day this will be just a pill that we can take. But for now, it's basically just like big mashed potato that we have to mash into our maws. Anyway, exercise is now a pill. They've isolated this specific, is it a compound? SLUPP332?
Which just sounds like a futuristic horror pill.
Thing is, exercise, and sorry guys, exercise is quite good. And it doesn't have to be, you know, going to the gym and lifting heavy weights. Exercise can be walking, something that, you know, you can use to get about. Or if you don't have the ability to walk, you can push yourself around, and that's still exercise. Exercise is actually a beneficial thing. And I think that maybe putting it into a pill form it's not going to yield the results that people want, which is that their mood improves and all these other things. I think something shouldn't be pills. That's what I'm going to say. I think we shouldn't have films in pills. I think we should just watch films at the cinema. Music in pills, I don't think is going to work. And exercise in pills. I'm drawing the line there. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, apparently this mimics the physiological effects of exercise, which is the least fun part of exercise. Like, the bit where you feel like shit.
Yeah, it's a pill you take and it makes you tired and sweaty. It's weird that you would... There is one way I would go for this, which is if the pill weighed about 30 kilograms, and the way that you take it is by lifting it up like 10 times in a row, taking a break for a minute, going back to lifting it up 10 times in a row, taking a break for another, and then finally, you know, 10 more pickups. Yeah.
I'm welcoming the fact that it might be smaller, because I don't know if you've ever taken a medicine ball, but they're hard to swallow and extremely painful. So if they can make those smaller, I'll be happy.
This is actually quite a sensitive subject for me, because my friend overdosed on exercise pills and got jacked to death.
I'm so sorry. A friend of mine got jacked to death. It's a different... I won't go into it.
At the Overlooked Hotel, wasn't it? The Overlooked Hotel.
I don't know that reference, but I assume it's awful.
It was actually you took a rather awful image and made it quite sort of highbrow.
I took a naughty image and made it sort of highbrow cinematic.
Slash. Yeah.
The Shining takes place at the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah.
Where Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson, sort of got already like overdoing the jacks there.
Mm. My friend overdid the jacks, and that's why he died.
And we're back in the game.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode of The Gargle. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Tom Neenan, have you got anything to plug?
Not yet. I go on my Instagram, is usually where I sort of put things, to at TP Neenan. Got some paintings on there that I like painting and stuff. Nothing sort of upcoming that is sort of urgent, but I'll always put stuff on there on my stories or something if I've got things to promote.
John Luke, have you got anything to plug?
Yes. My podcast Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts is back, and you're both in it, and it's now on a different stream. So if you were listening to it before, it's now under Sound Heap with John Luke Roberts, and it's a podcast made up of loads of made up podcasts, and it's fun, and it's out with Maximum Fun. And this week is the Max Fun Drive, where it's a listener supported network, and if you support them this week, you get prizes. Basically, you can, if you sign up to them this week, you get nice little things like our pin badge, which is an ear with teeth eating a sandwich with Sound Teeth written on it.
It is very good, and has been lovely to see you develop also as a comedian and artist.
Thank you.
Wow, this is lovely. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser if you want to support the baby having that I do, as well as the work that I do there. I do two writers' meetings every week, and I have a salon as well every week if you want to come in a room and chat with ideas with me. I also write articles there and do quite a lot of stuff there. It's really worth your time. patreon.com/AliceFraser, or you can just go to alicefraser.com and look up all of my stuff. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.